Glory to God. Well, let's look on your sheet for the sake of time. We've been talking about, or in a series for some time, called Seek First the Kingdom of God. This has been our text. So let's read Matthew 6:24. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Go down to the New Living Translation there on your sheet. Same verse, Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." So we've been in a series about this, talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. We've been, and for some time, we had done it last fall, and then we picked it up recently. And the current thing we're talking about is tithing, giving 10% of our income to the Lord and to his work. We've been on that for several messages, so I encourage you, this is the fourth one, if you haven't heard those, the whole series would be a blessing to you, but it's built up line upon line here. The messages depend on each other, especially with the tithing. Can't go back and say everything we've said in the last several, so I encourage you, if you didn't hear them, go back and listen to them. They will help you. But let's read Malachi 3:10. Let's just look at that on your sheet too, so you don't have to find Malachi. Malachi is just the book right before Matthew, right before the New Testament, but for the sake of time, we've turned there several times. Matthew 3:10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the window of heaven, the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Now let's go ahead and turn there. Let's lay our eyes on the page. So just, if you don't know where Malachi is, just find Matthew and then just go to the previous book, and it's right there. It's the last book in the Old Testament, so from that point of view, it's pretty easy to find. Easier to say, like Joel or something, that's three chapters in the middle of the Old Testament. Not as easy. Malachi 3, and we don't have it on your sheet, but let's go back and read verse 8. Malachi 3, verse 8. Tell you what, I'm excited. I was excited to come in here and preach this today. You know, like I've said before, you get into some of these things, can be an uncomfortable subject, but I've got more and more excited as we've been in it, because this is so vital. This, if we can get the truth on tithing into our lives, it is such a freedom. It frees us up. You will have more spiritual impact. It'll have more spiritual impact than even financial impact on you. When you tithe, it's something, it breaks something. Spiritually, naturally, we are living the way God intended us to live. We are putting our eyes on him. It puts us in a position of expectancy if you understand what the word says. And I'm excited about some of the things I believe we'll say today. But Malachi 3 verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, 'In what have we robbed you?' In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Now, I can't repeat the things we've said, but we spent some time talking about where the old covenant and things in the old covenant come into play in the new covenant. And there's just, as a matter of fact, we talked about the Sabbath day, and we're talking about tithing. These things both predate anything in the law. They've always been, and we don't have time to run through all that. We'll run through it a little bit on the tithe today. But we don't throw out everything in the old covenant just because the old covenant, that's error. There's things that we're not bound to because it's under the law specifically, and it's been done away with in the old covenant, but there's a whole lot that stands. We went over the Ten Commandments. Not a one of them passed away. They're all valid today. And there's a whole lot of other good things that are in the law, statutes that apply to us that are godly. We don't do them to earn our salvation. That's the beauty. Jesus died and paid the price. We don't do the things to earn our salvation. That's through the blood of Jesus. But that doesn't mean there are certain things that aren't God's will and are good and holy and just and right today. Now, here it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with the curse. Well, we're in the new covenant. The curse has fallen on Jesus. The Bible says we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. There was a curse for not following the law. And you can read about it. Go back to Deuteronomy 28. There's a whole bunch of curses. If you don't keep the law, all the things that are going to fall on you. But Galatians 3:13 says we are redeemed from the curse of the law because Christ was made a curse for us. So you are not cursed if you don't tithe. This is a division of the old covenant, the new covenant. In light of the new, you can see. Now, in the old covenant, they were. The Bible says if you don't keep the law, there were curses for it. All this stuff's going to happen. Basically, I mean, go read about it in Deuteronomy 28. It's bad. You don't want anything to do with that. So this is under the old covenant. They were cursed. They weren't tithing. We're not. But you're going to miss out on blessings if you don't. You're not cursed. On the other hand, it's like just leaving money on the table, not getting what God would have for you, not serving Him with a full heart. Anyway, if He told us to do it, why would you not want to do it anyway? Thank God you're not going to get stoned if you don't keep the Sabbath, like it said in the Old Covenant. Thank God you're not cursed if you don't tithe. But there are blessings to doing these things. We don't want to look at what can we get, you know, get away with. It's what does God want me to do? And I want to do everything He wants me to do. And I want to partake of the full blessing of God. Don't you? There's no use saying, what can I get out of? That's slippery. Let's see how close I can get to sin and not sin. Well, you know, like somebody said, if you're on a bank of water and it's a slippery slope and you're kind of seeing how close you can get, pretty soon you're going to slip in. You don't want to do that. But it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 10, or let's go to verse 11. I wanted to make a comment here. It says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now, this is again the old covenant. In the new covenant, we have authority over the enemy. They didn't in the old covenant. Yep. God said, if you tithe, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. In the new covenant, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. By your action of tithing, you are resisting the devil. You are rebuking the devourer. We have authority.
Yes, we do.
But to say, I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to try to rebuke the devourer in any way, good luck. On one end, we're yielding to the devil. You say, yielding to the devil? Is not tithing sin? Yeah. It's not. It is. Mm-hmm. If God tells us to do something and you don't do it, what would you call that?
Sin.
It's quiet in here. But it is.
That's right.
Huh. Worry is sin. God said, don't worry. Well, I'm going to worry anyway. He'll have mercy on me. It's sin. I'm not saying He won't have mercy, but it's sin. The wages of sin is death. Now, that's not to condemn anybody, but we have to see the truth. Thank God for Jesus, but that doesn't mean we run and say, well, it doesn't matter what we do. It matters. There's no condemnation in Christ, but you won't get away from your conscience bothering you if you know to do better and you don't. If you know to do something and you don't, your conscience will bother you. But it says, It says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. We have authority in the new covenant. And if we know, see the truth, the light's coming now. And as we know to do something, if we say, well, I'm not going to do that, but then on the other hand, I'm going to rebuke the devil. That does not work. Mm-hmm. Did you hear me? Mm-hmm. In any area, does not work. Because Satan's not stupid. We're yielding to him on one end, and on the other end, we're trying to tell him to go away. Doesn't work. The best thing, the right thing, is to do what we know to do, line up with God and say, Lord, according, not my will, but your will be done. You say something, I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll do what you tell me to do. I see it in the Word, I'm going to do it. I yield to you. Satan cannot touch you. He cannot touch you. When we are in His will, when we are in God's will. When we tithe, it gives God a legal right to get involved in our finances. Satan cannot steal from you. Anything he tries, God is going to make sure. We put laws into motion that seed time and harvest time, sowing and reaping. As God said right here, He says, try me. He said, verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this. Test me. He says, I dare you. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. That's what He said. When we obey what He said, then we'll get the results He told us we will get. It is a legality. Satan can't rob. He can't touch us. And we do it. We put it into to process and put it into action by what we do. But trying to get the result of what God said would happen without doing the action, it's foolish. God, I want what you said, but I don't want to do what you told me to do. It does not work. It doesn't. It doesn't work in any area. And you have a whole lot of Christians that are out in the world trying to make up their own doctrines. They have itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. Well, a lot of it has to do with, it doesn't matter what you do. God's going to bless you anyway because of the blood of Jesus. That's a distortion of the gospel. That's not true. It matters what we do. We don't earn salvation. It doesn't change God's attitude. Like, it doesn't buy salvation from Him. But it absolutely does matter and change what we have in life. Absolutely. You have to totally distort the gospel and distort the Word to say anything different. If God told us His way and told us what to do, and if we said, oh, that's fine, I know because of Jesus, I don't have to do that, and everything you said would happen if I did something, I just won't do that, but I'll get the same results, that's not true. In other words, think about it like this. I can go commit adultery on my wife, and it doesn't matter, I'll still have a great marriage. How many people would agree with that statement? That's just not true. You run the risk of destroying your whole life if you do that, right? Yes. Well, I'll get a job, but then I won't show up. I'll just, you know, blow off days of work, not tell them when I'm not coming, come in at the wrong time, but I'll be promoted. How many people would agree with that statement? No, the world does not work that way. Well, that's works. It's not works. It's common sense. Huh? People have twisted. Well, that's bondage. It's not bondage. It's not bondage to do what God said to do. It's freedom. Now, if you think you're doing the best you can and you slip up and, oh, God just doesn't like me. See, that's wrong too. That's coming from over here where people have been so beat down They're tired of being beat down, but it doesn't do any good to go from that ditch on the side of the road all the way to the other ditch and say, it doesn't matter what I do. That's just as bad. And I understand people have been beat down thinking, God's mad at me. I can't do anything right. So they just want a doctrine that says, it doesn't matter what I do. That's not really what you want. What you want is to come back and align with the Word of God that says, if you'll do that, Jesus bought and paid your salvation. You don't have to keep the law to be saved. You're not stoned if you do something wrong, that we live in an age of grace. And if you miss it, you go and say, God, I missed it. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. I repent. I'm going on. And judgment does not fall on you at that point. But God, I'm going to do what you told me to do the best of my ability. If I miss it, I'll get up and go on. But I'm going to live in your freedom. I'm so thankful for Jesus. And I just want to do the best I know how to do in the light that I have. And I expect you to help me. That's the gospel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So if God told us to do something, and we see he's told us, and then he says there will be results associated with that. Our job is to do what he told us to do. And then it's freedom saying, now this has to happen. I will be blessed. In this case, it says that if we'll bring all the tithes in the storehouse, he says, test me. If I won't open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough for there will not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Your stuff won't wear out. He said, you'll have more than you need. Your stuff won't wear out. It'll last long. You won't just have things happening to you left and right. Your stuff will be protected. This is tithing. This is the results of tithing. But people say, well, I don't want to do that. I just want this anyway. Why would you want that? We talked about that several weeks. Why would you think you want to go? What part of these verses don't you want? Which part looks bad? So why would we try to skip? Well, there's some simple reasons. And this is where it gets like, you know, where the rubber meets the road. Well, I can't do 10%. I don't know how I would do that. That's where faith comes in. We're going to talk about some practicalities, I think, if we get to it here. Faith, believing him. But God, I don't know how I would do it. Yeah, but he said it would happen, so I'm going to do it anyway. Faith, believing him, believing that what he said would happen because he said it. It's marvelous to walk in the blessing of God.
Amen.
It's marvelous to walk in faith with him. It's exciting. It's exciting to rely on him. I'm not saying it's always easy on your flesh. It's not always easy on your flesh. But we don't walk by what we feel. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by what we believe. And God's word always has to come to pass.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
10 years ago today, we were in Washington, D.C. area. 10 years ago tomorrow was our first day in Andover. We pulled up on July 4th. Had Brianna and Andrew. They were 2 and 4. We went through Washington, D.C., and the last day, July 4th, we drove from Washington, D.C. up here. We were just talking about it. It's been 10 years we've lived here. That's, you know, almost a quarter of my life. Way over half my married life. And I've lived here in Massachusetts. I would have never thought that. I grew up in Nebraska. Never. If you would have told me, you know, in 2016, you would have been married 17 years, you have 4 children, and you live in Boston, Massachusetts, and you pastor a church, I would have said, okay, that was not in my plans. But we believe God called us out here, and we came out here not knowing a single person. Didn't know how we would, just so many things. Didn't know, I'll be frank with you, didn't know how we'd afford a house. We rented a house. Bought a house a year later. Did not. This is in 2006. The prices were, this was right when it was as high as it could be. Bought a house a year later. Did not know how we would do that. The prices started to come down in different areas. We were able to buy a house. Last year, we bought another house. I'm telling you, God has done things. You cannot convince me God does not exist, and you cannot convince me that what we're talking about today does not work. I've lived it. I've done it. I will never do anything different. I would tell you, you should tithe and give above the tithe, regardless of what church you go to, regardless of what part of the world you're in. It is the word of God, and it works. God is faithful. I said He's faithful. He's faithful. He keeps His word. Always. Always. He is a faithful, faithful, faithful God. And when He said that I'll open up for you the windows of heaven, He means it. He said He would rebuke the devourer. Like we said, you by your acting, you're rebuking the devourer. You act on that. He will keep His end of the bargain. He doesn't necessarily settle up every Saturday night, but He does settle up. He always settles up. He always comes through. You cannot outgive God.
Amen.
Period. Can anybody else say amen?
Amen.
You can't. He is a good God. He keeps His word. Praise God. We went through, and I'm not going to take the time to read these scriptures just because of the time, but we went through, and you can go look them up. I left the shortened versions of these, but we read more. So go back and listen to them. Genesis 14:20, Hebrews 7, verse 1, Genesis 28 talks about different places, talks about Abraham and Jacob, and talks about how they were before the law, how they tithed. Tithing was regulated under the law, but it wasn't introduced in the law. It was introduced before that. Tithing is before the law, in the law, after the law, and today it exists as an act of faith. We read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. We read that direct means there to straight, to make straight, upright, pleasing, good. It means to make straight and right. He will straighten out our paths.
Amen.
When we trust Him, notice it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. All your ways. Would this be one of your ways? In our finances, should we acknowledge Him?
Amen.
Yes. And He will direct our paths. He'll straighten them out. He'll make them straight. He'll make us prosper. He'll get us in the right area. And it's not just financial. It's in every area that you're just in peace.
Amen.
I would take peace over any amount of money, any day, any time. Wouldn't you? Give me billions of dollars. Take away my peace? No, thank you. I'm good. Seriously, good sleep at night, be healthy, have peace in the home, not worth the money. But prospering is in every area, but we're talking about financial. You can come up and be, we can prosper as God wants us to prosper, and we can handle it. We can be blessed. We can still be at peace. There's still, there's not strife. That is God's best. He said He'd direct our steps. So we read some of these other scriptures. Just I'm not going to take time to go through all of them, but talking about giving, we read Luke 6:38, God, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will it be put into your bosom. Give and it will be given to you. In 2 Corinthians, it says, but he says, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I think we'll come back to that. But Matthew 23, look at that on your sheet. Matthew 23:23 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. In the Living Bible, it says, yes, woe upon you, Pharisees, and you other religious leaders, hypocrites, you tithe down to the last mint leaf in your garden. Talk about legalistic. They're breaking off leaves, going 100 leaves. Here, we got to give 10 and tithe on that. Just legalism. You tithe down to the last mint leaf in your garden, but you ignore the important things, justice and mercy and faith. Yes, you should tithe. This is Jesus, okay? Yes, you should tithe. But you shouldn't leave the more important things left undone. Jesus did not undo tithing. We read in Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews. Look out on your sheet there. We skipped over this, but I just want you to see. Hebrews 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being first translated king of righteousness and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Melchizedek's a type of Jesus. So it says he receives them today. He receives them. Jesus, the type of Jesus, receives tithes today. There isn't any scripture that undoes tithing in the New Covenant. And we talked about that. But Jesus said, yes, you should tithe. People say, well, how much should we give? Well, let me ask you a question, and I said this last week, I believe, or last time we talked. Why would we give less under the new covenant as blood-bought children of God, as new creatures in Christ with regenerated hearts, than people in the old covenant who weren't washed in the blood of Jesus, who did not have their sins wiped away, who had to give sacrifices and the blood of bulls and goats to cover, not to do away with, but to cover their sin, were not born again, did not have the Spirit of God lived in them, but they gave tithes of everything, plus offerings on top of it. And so in the new covenant, we're supposed to give less in a better covenant with better promises. Does that make any sense? Why would we, as children, they were servants of God. We are children of Almighty God with the Spirit of the living God living inside of us, with the authority over Satan, the authority over sickness and disease. Now, we just don't have to give, quote unquote. People say, well, we're not under the law. So, question, why would you be doing less? That doesn't even make any sense. Well, we're not under bondage. Who cares about bondage? We have more to be thankful for than they did in the Old Covenant. Why wouldn't we be giving more, if anything? It does not make sense. Well, we don't have to. You're looking at the wrong thing. You don't believe that you can't outgive God. And tithing was never done away with. And tithing, like we said, is not a religious term. Tithing does not mean to give. Tithe means 10%. That's what it means. It's not a religious thing. It just means a tenth. It's like saying a quarter. Quarter is not a religious term. It just means one-fourth. A tithe is like saying a quarter. So it's not like, well, I gave my tithe. It was 50 cents. Well, that's true if you made $5. But that's not a tithe if it's just, well, I just put some money in. That's not a tithe. That's not what the Bible says. So people have misunderstood and made a religious thing out of it. And, you know, we don't have time to go over everything we said. We understand. Yeah, people have done stupid stuff with money. Christians have done dumb stuff with money publicly. That doesn't change the word.
That's right.
It just doesn't. And why would I want to get out of it anyway? With everything I've said, what's the spirit behind if somebody's trying to, quote unquote, get out of it? Looking for a loophole so that I don't have to. You know what it comes down to most of the time is the very thing we read in Matthew 6. It's either ignorance, you don't know, or I do know, and there's something holding me back, and it really comes down to what we said in Matthew 6:24. You can't serve God and money. And God throws down the gauntlet with this. Because it hits it. We can talk all day long how much I love God, but he said 10% of your income. And you know what? A lot of people are like, well, I just can't. Well, can't or won't. And so we need to ask ourselves that. And like I said, I don't know what anybody gives in here. So I can preach up here with freedom. I don't know. So you think I'm targeting any? I just don't even know. I don't have to mess with any of that in my head. So I can preach the word in all these areas. And I don't know what people do. But it's the truth. So we get into then people have questions. Let's read before we get into that. Look at Leviticus. We won't take the time to look at Leviticus or to go there. Leviticus 27:30. It says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. See, it says the tithe is who? It's the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of tithes, he should add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock and whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. And if he exchanges at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. Verse 30, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Praise God. So we get into the, excuse me. So why then would we decide, I don't want some of that. I don't want to do that. A lot of times what Christianity has done today is make their own rules about things and sidestep the truth. But Galatians, or there's several scriptures here, and just let's look on your sheet. We're looking at your sheet a lot, just because there's a number of scriptures here, and it'd take a long time to turn to some of these, but a lot of ground to cover. Galatians 6 says, let him who is taught, Galatians 6:6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. So it doesn't matter what somebody says, what they preach, what makes us feel good, quote unquote. The word of God is what's going to stand. And God said he's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. This goes for every area. But in this area, he's talking about money. Or this, not this particular scripture, there's another one in Timothy. But here, he is talking about money actually here in verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. So if we sow good things, we'll reap good things. The amount we sow, we're going to reap accordingly. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. We just read this in the New King James. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Now, there is giving above the tithe, but that's not everything. We've already laid down the tithe, and it did not pass away, but he's talking in general. People have used this to say, well, see, it's just up to the heart. That's convenient. People say, well, and a lot of times the people that are saying that, they're not givers. They're just not. They're looking for a way not to give and say, see, I shouldn't have to give. It's not about have to. Jesus didn't have to come and save us either. And he's saying you shouldn't be doing stuff based on somebody twisting your arm. You ought to do it because you love God. So there is giving above the tithe. But the tithe is, it's non-negotiable, really, if you believe the word. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Look at it in the message. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in giving. That's God's heart because that's the way he is. He delights in giving. And we're his children. And he wants us to have the same heart. We should tithe out of an act of faith. It's an expression of a covenant relationship with God. It preceded the law, and today it abides as a choice under grace, an act of faith. Amen. Now, we'll get into a few things here, I believe, next few minutes. We've talked about some of these things, but just touching on them, I think there's some practicalities. So people ask, and I mentioned this last week, okay, so do I tithe on the gross? Do I tithe on the gross or the net? So the Bible just says you tithe, but let me ask you a few questions. Does the government come and ask you if it's going to be on some deducted part of your income or on the full thing?
They don't ask.
If they raise the taxes, do you get to choose?
No.
You don't. Why then we say, well, I have to give to the government? Why? Because there's consequences. But God's optional. Or, well, I'm not going to take that off the top. I'm going to give off the net. Well, people talk about this all the time. I mentioned it last time. The bottom line is you can't outgive God.
That's right.
I said you can't outgive God.
Hallelujah.
So if we believe that it's like what it says in 2 Corinthians, the more I sow, the more it's coming back. It almost is a moot point. Now, I've always tithed off the gross, and that's what I would tell you. Now, you have a business, and there's different things. You got to, you know, your expenditures versus if you're, you know, your revenues versus your profits, and what actually, if you're paying for advertising, that's out of some of the money that's coming in from the product. That's not the same thing as your increase. The Bible says to tithe on your increase. So you have to be led on that stuff, and I'll leave that to you and God. But as far as the income, I don't care that the government's taken some of it. I tithe off the gross. And like I said, it comes down to, the Bible doesn't say, but it just says 10%. So if you said 10% of what you had, that's not even mentioned as far as if it's the net. 10%, if my salary is a dollar, then 10% is 10 cents. The fact that I'm getting stuff taken out to pay somebody else is irrelevant. If you're talking about just simplistic terms, That's a question we'll ask, and people ask, and it's a legitimate question. But I think the bottom line is, you can't outgive God. And remember, things that are taken off the top are usually done for your benefit anyway. Ultimately, taxes, in an ideal society, you're actually supposed to be getting that back in some form, right? Roads, streets, military, all that. Now, aside from the fact of where things are now, okay? That's what's supposed to, if your health insurance is taken off, well, that you're getting that back in some way. Well, tithe is the same way. Where should the tithe go? So the Bible says in Malachi, now just look at this just logically. The Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now, there was a local body there. Now, of course, they're going to bring because they're talking about physical stuff. So I wouldn't get hung up too much on that. But people say, well, is that supposed to be the church or something else? I believe it's ideally the church. The church, because you just look at when it was instituted, you didn't even know somebody that was 100 miles away, let alone going to ship them a cow. I mean, for you to bring it, you don't even know them, but to bring it, that's a good investment. You're going to walk it there. I mean, we live in a different day and age, but it doesn't change. And this is where, again, Christianity has just gone. I mean, good people will talk about this, but I've always believed, and people I respect, and from the Word, I think you have to start, again, it's kind of looking into stuff and trying to see a different way of doing things. But if you just look at a local congregation, ideally, that's where the tithe should go. The church is going to do things for you that another ministry that's 2,000 miles away is not. A church is not going to perform a wedding. I mean, not church. Another ministry is not going to perform a wedding. If you have something urgent where somebody is in the hospital or a visitation, another ministry is not going to visit you. You're not going to, you know, your child being prayed over, your child being born. A ministry is not going to come and do that. You ought to, if you're being fed, if the local church is where you're being fed, that ought to be where the tithe goes, according to everything that I see in the Word. And the church is like the hub that will distribute it. Now, that's not to say things above the tithe. But I just don't believe in breaking it up. I know people say that. I know people do it. I know good people will disagree on that. Fine. I'm just telling you from what I see, in the Word, just in general, if you're talking about bringing to a local congregation, until recently, that's pretty much what you had. I mean, you did not know the communities 30 miles away. You just didn't interact with them. That's a pretty new thing. So to say, well, now we'll just distribute everyone, you didn't even have that ability. So for all of history, up until recently, this is not even a question. You're not saying, where should the tithe go? Should it go to the people over in, you know, California or something? You don't even know those people. If you leave home, you may never see your family again. Right? So to say that, well, I'm going to break it up, it doesn't make sense. Now, the church should be a hub that distributes. And like, for instance, us, we give to missionaries, we give to different ministries. We sow into a lot of areas. Now, we as a church could do, putting our money together, you can have such an impact distributing it. And I believe that's the way it ought to be. I believe, and I don't think it takes any really thought at all, if the church as a whole were tithing, there would be, I mean, the amount of money that would be in the body of Christ to be able to get stuff done, there would be no, and all the ministries would have no problem either, because there would be such a flow through. But that's not the reality in the body of Christ. And then also, above the tithe, yes. I mean, we give. We're partners with multiple ministries. This church gives to ministries. Above the tithe, I think, is giving, according to the Word. The tithe is the 10%. Above that is giving, offerings, and that's discretionary. And that can go directly to something else. Now, I'm telling you what I see according to the Word. The Word does not specifically address this, although, like I said, this isn't even an issue. You go back 200 years, it's not even an issue. It's just recently. And so people want to say, well, can I break it up? Well, this, don't get legalistic about it, but I think as a general principle, your local body should be the place where you're fed. If you're not fed, you should go to a church where you're fed, number one. But there are things that, again, in the local body that you can't do, and it will never get done. If you have an emergency, that ministry that's in a different part of the country is not going to be the one helping you. So people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. I'm going to wrap up some of these. Just give me a few more minutes. You guys take a few more minutes? People say, well, I can't afford to tithe. I want to read you a story. When you've heard me say this, what if somebody says, I can't afford to tithe? The answer is, you can't afford not to tithe. You say, well, I don't know my circumstance. We got to believe the Word of God. God, that will change. And I've heard story after story, and I'm going to read you one right here, and a couple different facets of it. As long as we look at it and say, I just don't see how it's going to happen. As long as Moses and the Israelites looked at the Red Sea and said, I don't see how we're going to do it. You see how we're going to do it? We got Egypt coming behind. We're blocked off by mountains, and we have the Red Sea. Now, I don't see how we're getting out of this. What did God say? He said, go through the Red Sea. I don't see how we're going to do that. Until they stepped into it and started going, then it parted. But you could stay there and look and say, we can't do it. We just can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. When you step, stuff starts happening, and that's faith in God. You don't look and say, we can't do it. You can spend, I remember Keith Moore telling the story. You may have heard him tell this. They moved to Branson, and it is a long story, but he wasn't planning on starting a church in Branson. He was just thinking, we'll just look. They were visiting. If you know who Keith Moore is, he's a former instructor at Rhema and traveled with Brother Hagin and now pastors a church in Branson and Sarasota's great ministry. We respect them highly. Anyway, he was a traveling minister and went to Branson to just check it out. He felt like they were maybe going to move their ministry from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma to Branson, Missouri. And they were there. And as they started looking at it, they started looking at some spaces and he just started getting a witness. I mean, I'm thinking God's talking to us about, they were looking at some big spaces and the starting a church. Because he was just thinking, maybe we'll get space, we can do some filming, place for a few hundred people could be. And he was looking at this big space. I mean, it sat almost 2,000 people. And he was talking to the people and, the realtors, and they were saying, well, they were talking about renting the space. They said, well, how many people you have in your congregation now? And he said, me and her, Phyllis, his wife, we don't have one. He said, and I've been there in different things, and people look at you like you're nuts. And so, they were trying to talk about different deals they could do, how could they work this, and he said he went home, and he had the calculator and just trying to figure out how this could work and finally just put the calculator in the drawer and shut it. He said, this is no way. There's no way I can figure out how this would ever work. But they ended up working a deal with the people. The people just came back and said, I think we're supposed to rent to these people. And they worked out a deal. And he started the church. They had like 600 or 800 people the first Sunday. And they've been going. And they had the building paid off in 3 years. But my point is, God told him to do that. And he can look at it and say, I don't see how to do it. God, you show me how to do it. Until he did it, that's when stuff came. And this is where we'll stay concerning the tithe. Because I get it. If we haven't been there, like I said, I don't know where you're at. But if you're sitting, I can't afford it, we have to look at what God said and say, God, by your word, I'm going to do it. And that's when things change. Can anybody raise their hand and say, I've seen this? God, I mean, I could tell you thing after thing, when we came out here, we did not know how we would do certain things. We didn't know how it would happen. But as we took steps, stuff split. You can't explain it. You can't figure it out. That's where faith comes in. All right, let me try to wrap this up. What if one cannot afford to tithe? The answer is we can't afford not to tithe. Who can afford to rob God? J. Wilbur Chapman cited the only one case he knew of in which a regular tither felt cheated in the end. A woman shared publicly with their church in a prayer meeting that God had failed her. "Tomorrow I am to be discharged from the job I have held for many years. I do not have money saved up. I do not know what will become of me. For many years I have given to the Lord's cause. Now when I am old and not able to work, I face duress, poverty, and the shameful support of public charity." This is in Britain. "I feel that when I am laid off my job permanently tomorrow, I must tell God that He has not cared for me as He promised." Dr. Chapman was invited to lunch the next day by a Christian businessman. This man told Dr. Chapman how thrilled he was that his company was installing a pension plan for employees. "Today we put this pension plan into effect, and the first person to go on a retirement pay is a member of your church, Dr. Chapman." The church member was the woman who had complained the night before. God is faithful. I am telling you, I have not heard of anybody that has ever said, "I've been a tither and it hasn't done it. I wish I wouldn't have done it." I've never heard of anybody. Should you tithe when you're in debt? Yes. Majority of the population would be like, "Well, you can't tithe." No, this one gentleman, I mentioned this person before. He said his own experience was that he was going deeper and deeper into debt until he started tithing. He said at the stage, the 90% began to go so much further. He said, "Don't ask me to explain it, I can't," toward paying my debts that I had been able to do with 100% from the start. I've seen this over and over. Say, how can it happen? That money leverages the other, and it comes back, things happen, and that 90% is going further than 100% ever could. How? Don't know. That's not up to me. It's not up to us. We just got to take God at His word and do it. You say, how to do it? How to tithe? How should I do it if, you know, I have problems getting to where I don't know how to put aside the money because then it's used up for other things. Best thing, I always tell people, take it off the top. If you're getting $1,000, take $100 and set aside and pretend you're getting $900. Isn't that, if you had a salary decrease, what would you do? You would do that, right? You'd say, "Well, we got to figure out." That's the best way. You say, "This is what I'm doing." If you try to say, I'm going to do it at the end, it's just like saving. If you don't do it at the beginning, I'll do it on the leftover. It does not work. No. It's like anything with priorities. You do it first things first, and then other stuff. You do it at the beginning, and then you watch it. And that's the best way I've seen. I think I related to you. I think it was Pastor Hagin. I just told you, I can't remember his brother Hagin. Pastor. I think it was Pastor Hagin. Some guy came to him with this very question, said, I every time I come, I intend to tithe, but by the time I get to Sunday or Wednesday, it's gone. What should I do? He gave him a stack of envelopes and said, when you get your paycheck, you put the tithe and you come drop it by the church," or I can't remember if he told him to mail it, you know, with the post. Don't get legalistic. It's okay to mail it to the church. We have a P.O. box. We're local. It's okay. You know, people are out of town. It's okay. That's not heresy. Don't worry about it. But the point is, he started doing it, and this guy's testimony later, I mean, he started seeing things turn around to where when he had started tithing, his income, then by later, his tithe was more than his income was when he started this. Should you tithe off like a loan or a grant? No. If you have money for a specific purpose, it's not income. Okay? If you get $10,000 for something, $10 to buy a car, that's not income. You don't tithe off that. Okay, I know that maybe some people may have a question over that. No, if it's for a specific purpose, if somebody's given you a grant, if somebody's given you, you know, scholarship, no, you don't tithe. That's going specifically to something. And finally, if I have not been tithing, is this okay? You guys, is this okay? This more. This is just, I'm just going over some very practical things, and this is where we are. I thought I'd just cover some of this because some people might have questions. If you haven't been tithing, does this mean, or if I haven't been tithing, does this mean I'm behind and have to make it all up? No. Begin now. Now, I'll just tell you, again, this is my obligation and my responsibility as a minister. And so, the enemy's devious, and we've talked about this. Don't take any of this, because I don't know where any individual is, as condemnation. Don't do that. Take the word. If you haven't heard these messages, go back to the beginning, three messages ago. There's been four on tithing. Go listen to them. And just look at the word of God. And just you, between you and God, because this is not, should not be condemnation. This should not be feeling negatively. It is a joy and a privilege. And the enemy is subtle. He'll try to push people away. He'll try to make you feel bad and try to make you, well, you're dumb, you didn't do this. And then he tries to divide people. Well, I don't like what that person's saying. Don't go by anything I'm saying. Just go back to the word. And then it's like anything we talk about. But like I've said, I'm fully aware that we're hitting something that is, you know, can be touchy in today's society. So if you haven't been tithing, do you have to make it up? No. Just begin now. And I would tell that to anybody. Now, it's not twisting anybody's arm. Like I said, I don't know. But it's like anything. If somebody were in any, and it is, I know this sounds harsh, but it's the truth. It is a sin. And so if anybody were doing anything, you wouldn't say, oh, no, don't worry about it. Just go. Do whatever. You would say, no, don't do that anymore. What would you say? God forgives. You go to God like you would anything and say, Lord, I see something I hadn't seen before. 1 John 1:9 says, Lord, says, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You go before God and say, I missed it. I didn't know. Or I believe something else. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And now, accept the forgiveness and go on. And don't look back. And just go forward. Like anything. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I know we got into some stuff there. At the end, I mean in the whole thing. Praise God. I trust you know my heart. I put the word out there, preach it the best I know how. And it's up to each one of us then to act on it as we see.